I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2017 coverage.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio.
Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
We bring you interviews and commentary from all the E3 2017 press conferences,
roundtable discussion,
all the latest gaming coverage,
developer interviews,
the latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
Here we go.
E3 2017 coverage starts now.
All right, so we just finished day one of E3. We checked out Xbox press conference, Bethesda, they had their press conference. Also, we went to EA Play, and we got to play Star Wars Battlefront 2. So we're going to talk about all that stuff, and I have my co-host, Paris. Paris, what's going on, man?
Yeah, we're just hanging out here in West Hollywood, eating some breakfast. Like you said, we're going to go over our day one of E3. Pete's not going to be with us because he's at the PC Gamer press conference, so he'll probably have some impressions from that in another episode. But good first day. Definitely good first day being able to go over to EA Play. Got a couple hours with Star Wars Battlefront 2. We got all three of us got some gameplay capture from it, so we'll probably be uploading some video from that when we get time, obviously, with E3 and everything going on. But I really enjoyed Battlefront 2. I liked it. We're playing on PC, keyboard, mouse. So always when I'm on keyboard, mouse, it takes me a second because depending on what key is for reload and all that, once I had all that, once I knew what sprint was and crouch and all that, I loved it. I loved having the different classes and depending on how you get your, you know, you get kills or you're in a basically like in a support nature, like doing defense, you'll get points. Anyways, you get all these points and that allows you to unlock other features, like you unlock an AT-AT or you can unlock like a ship, or you know, you can get to one of the heroes like Han Solo or Rey or Darth Maul, things like that. A lot of fun, man. And I even like, do you remember the name of the actual multiplayer mode that we're playing, what it was called?
I can't remember the name of it. But it was basically one of the ships arrives to your base and you have to like shut them down so they won't attack and take over your base. So basically it's kind of like what's it called for Halo
But just real quick, just to describe it, so you have the two sides. You have the clone trooper side and then you also have the droid side. And the droids are doing basically on the offensive and they're pushing in to basically getting to your base or your throne room or whatever it is. And the clone troopers are in defense. So they're trying to stop you as you're pushing forward. So there's that first half of the multiplayer match, which is actually outside of the base. And then once the droids get to that point of the base, now they're pushing from the inside and you're doing defense from the inside. So I like it. So we played, what, about three matches as clone troopers, and then that final match we got to do from the other perspective as the droids. And I was digging it, man. Like, I found myself gravitating a lot to that heavy class because you have your assault class, you have your heavy class, you have your officer class, and then you have your specialist class, right? And I never use specialist. I use officer. Yeah, I was using heavy mostly, and then I use officer a few times because, like, basically, like the officer, his class perk is he can drop down like a turret, things like that. On the heavy assault side, I mean, you had like grenade launchers. You obviously had your heavy artillery that you could use in support. Heavy also had that shield that you could get. And depending on what kind of class support you pick, it'll nerf another feature that you could use if you're just using your normal assault weapon. Plus, there's actual weapons that spawn on the map that you can get to use as well. And then their time, basically, like I said, it's like a superpower that you can use. And it's timed and limited, so you can't just spam it the whole time that you're playing the match. But like I said, overall, that first match, I had to get used to it. But then by that second, third match, I was really starting to click and understand how to play the game. And graphically phenomenal. Phenomenal. We're playing on the PC, obviously, but phenomenal, phenomenal looking. Had that Star Wars feel to it, which I think is great. And while it wasn't overly complicated, like, I don't think this is going to be a super hardcore multiplayer game, it's also not just casual either. It's easy to pick up, but hard to master. I think that's the best way to describe it.
And this is actually not my first time. I played PC games like a long time ago, but this is my first time that I actually played a first-person shooter game on the PC in a very long time. Very long time. And I'm not going to lie, the first round was kind of tough for me because I was trying to figure out the controls and the mouse and everything because I felt it was just like too sensitive at first. But I think then the second round, I got a little bit more better. Third round, I was like, okay, I'm not like in the top five. How many players were in the group? I can't remember. We had a big, big group playing with us. It was a lot of people.
I'm pretty sure it was a 32-player match, so 16 versus 16. I want to say that's what it was. But, yeah, there was definitely a lot going on the map. You know, this wasn't a small tactical thing. There was, again, it's DICE. It's the Battlefield series. This is what they're known for with their kind of multiplayer. And it definitely, like Pete and I were even saying, it had that Battlefield feel to it. So if you're used to that kind of multiplayer, you'll be able to jump right in to play Battlefront 2.
But even with that amount of people playing, it didn't feel like I couldn't walk that far because there was too many players around. And I felt like it was very open, like a Battlefield game. You know, so I had a blast playing Battlefront 2, man. It was a lot of fun. And I could see people really liking this a lot because the first game, I think the gamers got tired of it super quickly. I think this, people are going to last a lot longer with this game compared to the first game when it comes to multiplayer. Plus, they're adding a campaign mode there too. I think it's going to be good, man.
Plus, let's not forget, we were going against some of the top, like, because again, we're here for the EA Game Changers program. Again, this whole thing being able to do, it was sponsored by EA, so we'd say that up front. But being in there with all the Game Changers, so if you watched the EA press conference, you saw a lot of them on screen talking. So Pool Shark was one of them. He's one of the top players in the freaking world, and he was smoking it. Like, every time I looked around, Darth Maul was on the screen just killing everybody, right? Dude, I got a headshot on him once and took him out. You'd have thought I won the Olympics. I was so happy. I was like, whoa! But that's how I know the game is fun, because I was getting into it. I was engaged. I was having fun. Like, when I was dying, I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to get back in because I'm going to go try this time and stuff like that. So a lot of fun, man. Plus, did you ever get any of the ships?
I tried one of them.
Yeah, I took one of the ships up. I was okay flying it around, but it was funny. I was like, let me try and loop around this building real quick, and I just boom right into it and blew up. So that was fun, too. I had a blast with it. I really did. So I'm looking forward to more for Battlefront 2.
All right, so let's talk about Bethesda's press conference. So let's talk about what happened when we got there. First of all, the line was ridiculous. It was very, very long for everybody, if they wanted to go inside, took forever. Then we go inside. The setup, it was like an amusement park. So I felt like I was like maybe at a Disney World theme park or something like that. You know, so it was everything but Bethesda, like all their games. It was very cool. They had like a Fallout old school top vibe, right? You hear music in the background too. They have free food, free drinks. The vibe was good. So we were there for a while, for a couple hours. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little tired. I hope when we go inside, check out the press conference, we can sit down and relax. We had a great time. But it wasn't like that at all. Everybody was standing. And after a while, we were like, man, this is too much. There was too many people there. So we left, but we got to see the press conference, the full version online a couple hours later and stuff. So once we got back to the hotel. So let's talk about the biggest game of their press conference was Wolfenstein 2. That was mind-blowing. Graphically, it reminded me a lot of like Fallout, but it's just Wolfenstein. Your thoughts, Paris, because you've been talking a lot about this game for a while now. So your thoughts now that you got to see the trailer of the game.
October 27th, I'll be there day one. I mean, I've been saying this, like you said, for the past month or so, that Wolfenstein was going to probably be my most anticipated game of this E3, and now Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus, is coming out. Again, you didn't play the previous iteration that came out a few years ago, but I fell in love with that franchise, and this looks to be more of the same, because it's fantastic single-player first-person shooter content. Story-wise, it has a fantastic story. This whole world that they built in this Wolfenstein universe, I want to know more about it. Seems like we're going to get that. So, yeah, again, I can't wait to get more information about it. To me, because, again, that was kind of the worst-kept secret in the world, that Wolfenstein 2 was coming out. But the big thing that I took from Bethesda was Doom and Fallout 4 VR. Fallout 4, fully playable game in VR, and it comes out this year. Both Doom and Fallout 4 come out this year in VR. We'll see. Hopefully I'll get a chance to test it out at the thing. This could be the gateway drug to get me in. It really could. It really could. Because if I can play all of Fallout in VR, dude, I'm not going to curse, but that's effing amazing. I mean, I want to see that. Because remember, this is what I've been saying with VR the entire time. What's that game? What's that experience? Full experience. Not a demo, but a full game experience that excites me, that says, I want to try this. I want to try this in VR, because I'm a believer in VR. I know it works. I just need compelling content. I think Fallout 4 and Doom might be that. So I'm excited for that. I was very happy to see that coming from Bethesda.
Now, I'm wondering, are there plans to do this also for the Xbox One X in the future too? Because I think, is they announced only for PC, or they're going to have also for PlayStation 4?
It looked like it was the Vive that they were showing in the press conference. I could be wrong. It was a long night, folks. I could be wrong. But I don't think I've seen anything yet for PlayStation VR on that. I'm assuming they would put it on there. We know it will eventually come to whatever VR solution for Xbox, because they had Todd Howard last year as a part of Project Scorpio talking about the VR potential of Project Scorpio. Or Xbox One X. I still want to call it Scorpio, of Xbox One X. So we know it's going to eventually be on Xbox. So that's going to happen. Not sure about PlayStation VR. Not sure about Oculus. But it sounds like, at a minimum, it'll be on Steam with the Vive. So
let's talk about this too. Nintendo Switch. They showed Skyrim for the Nintendo Switch. Portable, take it. I mean, graphically, it's not like, you know, up there, but... Dude, you could play on the go. That's pretty cool. And a lot of the fans, they're waiting for like a big open world RPG. This is it for the Switch. I think it was good.
Yeah, I mean, Skyrim is getting a little long in the tooth at this point, but it's still obviously one of the best open world RPGs, you know, we have, right? So I'm excited to see it come to the Switch. And Link, they showed Link. Link's going to be... Well, I mean, it's not Link, but, you know, they basically like a mod that looks similar to Link. So... I'm curious to see. Not to mention, speaking on that, what was it called? The creator. I'm forgetting the name. I'm butchering the name. I apologize. I don't have it in front of you. Community content creator. But basically, Bethesda themselves will be adding content, you know, like for Fallout 4 and for things like Skyrim. But also, they'll be taking the best of what the community has as well and incorporating that too. So it takes a game like Skyrim, for example. And what are we, 2017? That game is, what, about 6 years old now? About 6 years old, and it keeps it fresh. It keeps it going, and that's I love that. See, that's to me, that's the thing Bethesda does the best out of anyone in the gaming world right now as a publisher. They are great with supporting the mod community, and they're great with the single player experiences. I mean, I know they're doing Elder Scrolls Online, and they're bringing Morrowind to that, which is great. But like I talk about Wolfenstein, you look at Doom, you look at Prey, Bethesda is best with single player experiences, and it's exciting to see that they're to continue to support that stuff with the community.
Let's talk about the big talk about yesterday, man. Xbox press conference, Xbox One X. I know we talked about it already in our first episode that we recorded right after the press conference, and now a day has passed, Paris. A day has passed. You know, it was good for us to sit back and actually think about overall everything that they showed yesterday. Again, I think it was a great press conference. Now I understand why they have it like that as a price, $4.99. And the funny thing is, this morning we woke up and Paris wanted to check out the iPad Pro review. I think it was on The Verge, right? So it was on YouTube. So I'm like, man, this looks pretty tight. I wonder how much it is. That one is $649, and you don't see people, maybe because they're used to the whole Apple, you know, price thing, whatever. But you don't see people complaining about that. But we see people complaining now about the price for $499. But the thing is that I like about this is that you don't really don't need the console. You could just buy the $249 version, Xbox One S, and still all those games they show, you still could play all those games. So you're not missing anything. You know, and if you have a PC, kind of, unless if it's an Xbox Anywhere support. If it's not, then you're missing out. That's the only one. But I think it was good. I think it was a pretty good press conference. I have to rewatch a couple of the trailers because there was a lot of games that I totally forgot the name. At the moment, I wasn't writing it down. Pete was writing everything down and stuff. So your thoughts, Paris? It's been now 24 hours.
My first thought is, why are you getting an Xbox One X? Everything that you just said, why are you getting one at launch then?
I'm still undecided because the more I'm thinking about it, yeah, I can still play my consoles that I have at home. I can still play. But the thing that we're going today, this is okay, for those who have never been to E3, every year Xbox always have an event called Xbox Showcase where they show all the games that they announced during the press conference, and this is the chance for you to try it out, meet the developers, get some interviews, whatever, right? So years ago, I remember Microsoft announced Alan Wake at the press conference. I looked at it, I'm like, that game looks cheesy. I don't care about it. Then I had a chance to play the game later, and it's one of my favorite Xbox 360 games, Alan Wake. So sometimes presentation, you think is the greatest, the game, but when you actually play it, it could be crappy, or it could be the worst presentation about that game. But once you actually play the game, it will change your mind. Man, this is amazing. So we'll see now when we go to the Xbox Showcase later on today. We have a couple appointments in there that it's going to help me maybe change my mind and decide, should I get it or not? But here's the thing that I really like about this console, that I'm not really a specs guy. I don't care much about that. But just the size of the console, smaller than the ones that I have at home. I have two, and that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. If you're planning to put it like in the living room and stuff, like, you know, like that, but...
Now, I'm not trying to put you on trial here, but you've still not answered my question. Why? What? But that's a game. You don't need Scorpio for that to get the impression of a game. You don't have a 4K TV. So I ask you again, why are you getting the Xbox One X?
Two reasons. If I decide. I still have, remember, I said I'm undecided still. Undecided. One is VR. I know. But launch. Paris, but let me talk, man. I think that the reason why I wanted to buy this was VR, one. Two, I want to see the features of the dashboard and like loading time of like certain games, or I just want to check it out and see if it's worth it to get it. And that's it.
So To answer my own question, because, you know, I've had some people on social media this morning ask me, well, Paris, $499, $399, why would you get it at all then? Here's the thing. I'm looking at it this way. I already have a PC. I've said this a million times, and I've said this, you know, even before. If it was $499, it would take a lot of convincing for me to get it at launch. I will eventually get an Xbox One X, just probably not at launch. And the reason being, I have my PC, they have Xbox Play Anywhere. I can get that same experience on my PC early on. Now, I can tell you right now a game that will convince me to get an Xbox One X. And yeah, you know what I'm going to say. And here's the reason. It's Anthem. And you guys know how big of a Destiny fan I am. I went PlayStation with Destiny because they had timed exclusive content. And having played Destiny now for 3 years, that content mattered. the fact that there's still weapons and things in Destiny that you have on PlayStation that you don't have on Xbox is a big deal to me, because it's a loot shooter game. It matters. So play it forward to Anthem. If Anthem, because I'm assuming Microsoft, this is going to be their Destiny, where, yeah, EA's making it, BioWare's making it, but they're going to have timed exclusive content that's only going to be on Xbox. Anthem is not an Xbox Play Anywhere title, so that means the Origin copy of it is not going to have that content, right? So it means I need to play it on Xbox. So if that's the case, just like I did with Destiny in 2014, I will do in 2018 with Anthem. I will go pick up a Scorpio. I love calling Scorpio. An Xbox One X for that very reason. So, yeah, I will get one. Just there's no reason for me to get one at launch. Not at $499, especially if I wait this time next year. It's probably $450 or something. Why not save the $50, then get it? I'll have it for Anthem, and then now I have more options on that. Because, again, Xbox is promoting this stuff now. This is, you know, not I've had time to think about it. It's not about one single piece of hardware. It's not about Xbox One X. It's about the Xbox as a platform. They're giving you options. You can go with the lowest tier, which is the Xbox One S. You can go with the Xbox. God, there's so many damn acronyms. The Xbox One S is your bottom tier. Xbox One X is your, on the console side, is your high tier. And then if you're a PC gamer, you can build your own PC, throw as much money at it as you want, and you have that option as well. So we all win at the end of the day. So I know people are disappointed about $499. I am, in a way, because I was hoping Microsoft would try and shake up the industry with a lower price machine like this. They didn't do that. But at the end of the day, you can still play all those games on the One S. You can build a PC and play them there, or you can go spend the $500 and play them on Xbox One X. It's your choice. And that's the great thing about what they're doing. There is choice, and their games, if you just look purely at the games that we saw yesterday, it's very diverse. I mean, there were a lot of A and AA games, you know, coming from more from the indie side. There were some AAA games in there as well. They did some strategic partnerships, again, the Anthem thing. There's a lot there. There's definitely a lot there. If you just look, don't compare them to PlayStation or anyone else. Just look at what Xbox did alone. There's a lot there for it. And as a gamer, you should be happy about it. All right. Another thing that we got to see day one, last night after Bethesda, we went to an NBA Live 18 event. Again, thank you to EA for inviting us to that. So we got to check out NBA Live 18. But before we talk about that, let's get a word from our sponsor, Western Digital. With Western Digital, you're now able to get solid-state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a Western Digital solid-state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boost your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable Western Digital hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for a limited time, Gamertag Radio listeners, you can get 20% off a Western Digital solid-state drive with coupon code WDGTR. Go find out more at WD.com/GTR. Use that coupon code WDGTR for 20% off. Now, I've talked about this before. Right before, I said I was going to do this after E3. I wound up doing it before E3. Western Digital sent me one of their 4-terabyte SSD they're SSHD drives. It's their hybrid drive. So it's like a regular hard drive, but it also has a solid state cache for a quicker read speed. So they sent me a 4-terabyte one. I put that in my PC. I now have extra 4 terabytes of storage. You know, we're doing all this game capture and editing video and all that in 4K. I need the space. Again, I'm telling you guys, take advantage of this deal. Use that coupon code WDGTR. Get 20% off all their Western Digital solid-state drives. It's a fantastic deal. Go check it out today. So, NBA Live 18. Like I said, we're at this event. You know, it was more of like a party atmosphere, but they had some stations around being able to play it, and everyone was using Golden State and Cleveland. You know, obviously the finals is going on right now. And I didn't have hands-on with it, but I was watching because our good friend Doug was playing. He was like in a tournament or something, right? Was watching him play. And I have to say, 2K is probably still the king in 2018, but this is a solid effort coming from EA after taking a few years off and trying to get it right. We got to talk to some of the people on the team, and you know, they've been working hard. They've been bringing in, again, the EA Game Changers. They've been bringing these guys in over the past few years. We like this. We don't like this. We, you know, et cetera. So the developers have been fixing. Again, our friend Doug, he told us he's, you know, been to the studio, given his feedback, and he was amazed at the turnaround this game has had just in a few months from direct community feedback saying, here's the features you guys need to change. And he's like, oh my God, here I am at EA, and they've implemented almost all those changes.
What are your thoughts about that? That I know we used to be Xbox MVPs back in the days, and Microsoft loved that we also give them like feedback, good and bad, and they would send that to the team, to the developers, and so on. Now we see that a lot, plus more with EA Game Changers. I think that it's really, really cool to see that a major corporation like EA invites the fans of the game and just tell us how the game is, help us make the product better, and so on. They get to see a lot of behind the scenes. They get early access to see the game in the early stages. And I think we need an industry. I think that's super important, and I love that they're really focusing on that, on all of their games, all of their games. I just wish that more companies do that, you know?
Well, no, you hit the nail on the head. I feel like EA has now given us the template for what community involvement, helping. It's basically, it's a partnership. It's a partnership between the community along with the publisher and the development team of, let's make the best game we possibly can. Let's get all the feedback that we can. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. Again, you saw it at the EA press conference where they had the Game Changers up there basically presenting Battlefront 2 to you. It was the community that presented it to you. You know what I mean? And talking to people last night that's involved with the whole Game Changers program, they want to make it even bigger and get even more involvement, to the point where the trailers and the things that are being presented to the community is literally being made by the community. Now, look, all of us can't do it. It's too damn many of us, right? So, you know, it's going to be a select group of people that, wow, it's getting loud as hell in here, that gets the opportunity to do that. But like you said, I hope more companies takes advantage of this. Like you said, you and I used to be Xbox MVPs back in the day. I would really love to see Microsoft take the MVP program and do this. Get those MVPs actually helping you make Xbox better, to make the first-party games for Xbox better, you know, give them more access. So it's getting super loud in here. But, yeah, great program. Love what we saw with NBA Live 18. Love that Game Changers program. And, again, I'm looking to see more from it.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, and of course, we're going to be posting content throughout the whole week multiple times during the day. So stay tuned right now. We have a couple of places to go. Today, we're going to the PlayStation press conference, Ubisoft, and a couple other surprises that we can't talk about. But just stay tuned, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Take care. Peace.